May 2nd, 2012. Yom HaShoah. This evening we're going to discuss a tshuva from Rav Oshri, from his Sefer Minamakim. Just want to start off with a quote from Rav Menachem Zemba, who gave his support for the since we're celebrating Yom HaShoah, which again falls out on coincides with the Warsaw, the Warsaw Ghetto uprising. So he gave his support for the uprising. In the past, during religious persecution, we were required by the Lord to give up our lives even for the least essential practice. In the present, however, when we are faced with an arch foe whose unparalleled ruthlessness and total annihilation purposes know no bounds, halacha demands that we fight and resist to the very end with unequal determination and valor for the sake of the sanctification of the divine name. So, le'ilu nishmat all the kedoshim and the tahorim, we'll proceed to learn a tshuva of Rav Oshri. So he was asked, he was in the Kovno ghetto at the time, and he tells the story that his job in the Kovno ghetto was to be in charge of the bathhouse. And he closed the bathhouse on Shabbos, and the German officer came by, saw that the bathhouse was closed, was asking why is it closed, you know, and so the people, you know, went to him to try to get him to open it up, because he's endangering himself for keeping it closed on Shabbos. And when he came to discuss that with his Talmidim, they asked him, how can you endanger yourself and, you know, keep the bathhouse closed? Isn't there only three, you know, the big three, Gilui Arayos, Shlichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah, that you have to Yaharog Ve'al Yavor, you know, and give up your life for? So how can you endanger yourself, you know, for this mitzvah when it's not one of the big three? Upam kishabahar utzecher germani filigram krilligram yamachshmo levaker velarot hamerchatz b'shabbat mishera oto sagor hu sha'al lama hamerchatz sagor hayam ve'efu hu hamefakeach al hamerchatz. וכששמעו זאת כלי הגטו חזקו עלי דבריהם לפתוח את המרחץ בגלל הסכנה הנשקפת לי אם אחזיק אותו סגור, אולם אני לא נעניתי להם. וכשבאתי אחר כך לבית ג'נוביץ ללמוד את שיעורי הקבועים עם תלמידיי, הם שאלו אותי, איך זה מותר? How were you able to לסכן את עצמו, to endanger yourself? הלא רק על גימל עבירות שינו הדין של ירג ויעבור. ואיך זה מותר? Li l'saken et atzmi al shmirat mitzvat acheret kamo shmirat Shabbat. So that was it. He was asked in one of his other svarim a very similar question. She'ela biyom yud gimel elul tofshin bet, almost 70 years ago. Hotzi hatzar hatzorer hanatzi machshamam et atzav she'asor liyehudim kloy hageto levarech et Hashem b'makhelot ul'taseif b'vatei knesiyot v'vatei midrashiyot. L'toro u'tfila v'uzlok l'Hashem b'tzar lahem u'lapil afanav t'china she'azor lahem v'yoshia l'chalitz nafsham min ha'mitzor l'fdosam meredet shachat. The Germans made a decree to close the shul, and you can't daven, can't learn there in the shul. So someone asked him, v'az bizman ha'hu ba elai Rav Naftali Weintraub, Hashem yimkom damo, gabai beit ha'kneset shel Jefinovitz, Vashaloti Kadina Shotora. Him Mukhuyav who could is a should he listakem besakanat guf to endanger himself in Nefesh at, you know, at the point of endangering his life, Le Lechli hit Palel Bitsibor Bakloiz, Shahaya Ragil Bol Hashkim Lashkimula Ariv. Haim Mukhuyav who lim sort nafshol al toro tfila olo. So again, what about endangering oneself? Questions that came up during the Holocaust for the purpose of performing mitzvahs. So we see that, yes, there was the time, the Warsaw Ghetto, it was a physical resistance, but we all know that there were many people that were moser nefesh to for mitzvot, to perform mitzvot during the Holocaust. And the question he was dealing with is, you know, was that permissible? Is that permissible? So the jump-off point is going to be the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalet, a Gemara that probably many of us are familiar with. But it's nice to go over this page. It's going to go over the Gemara and going to go over the Rambams in Yisodei HaTorah. So I think it just pays to do them inside. So Amar Rav Yochanan could give us even some background for our discussion. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shem Ben Yehotzadak. Nimnu v'gamru b'aliyas beit nitza b'lud. They took a vote. And they decided in the attic in Lud, Kol Averet Shabbatorah Im Omrim LaAdam Avo Ve'al Tarog. If someone is threatening him and says, you know, violate this Avera or you're going to get killed, Ya'avo Ve'al Yareg. He should violate the commandment and live. Chutz Me'avodah Zorah Gila Reis Shrikas Damim. Except for the big three. D'Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, I skipped a little bit, he had Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, which he says something different for Avodah Zorah. But we pass on like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Ezer, Omer, Dvarm. It says, so what's the Makor? We're going to see that it's going to be the three Averos have, each one has their own Makor, why it overrides V'chai V'hem. So what about, how do we know that Avodah Zorah overrides V'chai V'hem, and you should give up one's life rather than be Ovei Avodah Zorah? We're on page 2. We just on page 1, we were, Rav Oshri was asked, he was in charge of a bathhouse and he kept the bathhouse closed on Shabbos. And that was endangering himself because the Germans found out about that, you know, that they can kill him. So his students asked him, it's not one of the big three, how are we able to keep the bathhouse closed on Shabbos? There was another shuva about they closed the shul also, and so one of the people asked him, you know, can I endanger myself to go to the shul, to daven, and to learn? So we were doing the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which said that if someone pressures you and says, violate an Avera or I'll kill you, that you should violate the Avera and live, except for the big three Averos, and that's where you get, you know, that's where we're up to right now. So, but now we're discussing the Makor, we're on page 2, first paragraph of those three exceptions. So the exception that you should give up your life rather than worship of Avodah Zorah comes from the pasuk of V'ahavtet Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. So you see, you have to love Hashem with all your nefesh. We'll see an avera that you should actually give up your life for. And which one is that? That would be for not to violate the opposite of loving Hashem would be to serve another god. So im nemu b'chol nafshecha lama nemu b'chol me'adecha im nemu b'chol me'adecha lama nemu b'chol nafshecha.
Not the opposite of loving Hashem, but the opposite of loving nafshecha.
Of your life. So you have to give up your life. But how do you know for which mitzvah do you have to give up your life? So I think that's why they're applying it for the mitzvah of Avodah Zorah. Im yesh lecha adam sheguv v'chav v'olav mimamo. No, if someone loves his life more than his mamon, which, right? So that's where it says you should give up your life. And if there's a person that actually values his money more than his life, then he has to give up all his money. So you see from there that for Avodah Zorah, from V'haftet Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, you would have to give up your life rather than worship Avodah Zorah. What about Gilui Arayot and Shvichas Damim? So that's like Rebbe. D'Tanya, Rebbe Omer, he quotes a pasuk for Nara Hamorasa. Says that if there's someone chasing after a Kikashi Akum Ish Al Re'ehu, Utsarcho, just like a person will come up and kill him, Utsarcho Nefesh, Kena Devar Hazeh. He's trying to say that somehow they're discussing a rapist chasing after a young woman, and then it talks, all of a sudden it talks about murderer, killing a murderer. So they're saying, what is that pasuk of the murderer doing in the, we're not talking about murder, we're talking about an attempted rape over here. So why are they bringing in rotzeach here? So you're actually going to learn, rotzeach is going to teach something to Na'ama Arasa. Na'ama Arasa, first of all, is going to teach something to the Hilchas rotzeach. So there's a hekish. Makish rotzeach l'nara hamurasa. Ma nara hamurasa nitan latzilo benafsho. The pasuk says that if someone is chasing after a woman to violate her, so you are permitted to kill that attempted rapist. So therefore, we learn the same halacha. So that's going to teach you afrotseach nitan latzilo benafsho. So too, that teaches you, since there's a hekesh here, that if you see someone running after, you see Reuven chasing after Shimon to kill him, you're allowed to kill Reuven. Just like you were able to kill, you know, the attempted rapist, you're allowed to kill the attempted murderer. Umakish nara hamurasa lerotseach. And this, now the hekesh is learned in the opposite direction. So what does rotseach teach nara hamurasa? Ma rotseach yaharag ve'al yavor, ach na hamurasa taharag ve'al te'avor. So just like we're going to see that rotseach is you have to give up your life rather than kill someone else. If someone puts a gun to you and said, kill that other person or let yourself be killed, you have to let yourself be killed. So too, that would be, do this. That would be the same halacha for Gilui Arayos.
You also learn the first direction because it's a kavachomer?
It's not a kavachomer. I think it's a hekesh. I think it's a, the Gemara says Rotsayah, hekesh nara murasa l'rotzeah. So, I mean, the rape, the case from the rape, what it taught murder was that we had no pasuk that said that you can kill the attempted murderer. Normally, you don't kill if you're about to do an avera. I can't kill you if you're about to do an avera. Once you do an avera, then your chayv means I can kill you. But here I'm going to kill you before you do the avera.
But isn't killing more chamor than?
So we learn, but it's not said. But it's learned. Allah is said by Naramurasa, and then it's learned. You know, to then that halacha would apply also to the attempted murderer. So then they ask, what does murder teach? We said Naamurasa. So just like a person has to give up his life rather than kill someone, this person has to give up his life rather than violate Gilui Arayos. But then we say, but how do we know about murder itself? So that we say, Rotzeach Gufo Minalan. So Svarahu. It's a Svara. Duhu da Asala Kame Darava. Damale Amali Mar Dori Zil Katli Liplanya. So my mayor of my town, someone asked Rabbah, came to him and said, my mayor of my town has you know, said that I have to kill this plony, this person, Ve'ilo Katlina Lach. Then if I don't do it, he's going to kill me. Lacha. So I'm a lay. So Rabbah said to me, Lekatlucha Velo Tiktol, that you have to let yourself be killed, and you're not allowed to kill somebody else. Because, and what's the svara? Mi yomar didoma didach sumak tvei. Who says that your blood is redder? Dilma doma duhu gavra sumak tvei. Maybe the other person's blood is redder than your blood. So you can't put a value on who is more precious in God's eyes. So you have to let yourself be killed. Yes.
If there's reason to take this person seriously, I don't know why the thought never occurred to me. Why isn't he considered a rotzeach? The person threatening
the mayor.
Yeah.
The mayor.
Why isn't he?
Right.
In other words, if you really have reason to believe that he's really a rodef,
right?
After you,
right?
Then you should be able to kill him.
Right. Sure. You should be. For sure. You're like, absolutely, you can. But we're just talking about in a situation where you can't. You know, this guy's standing there with an army of tanks and guards, and you're a poor, you know, guy Jew working in the field. But yes, if he's going to kill you, you can turn around and try to kill him.
Even if he threatens you in the future, like if you don't within 24 hours or something?
Yeah, I mean...
Is he considered a rotzeach?
I mean, again, if he's trying to kill you, you can try to...
Taking him seriously enough. Think about killing somebody else because of that.
Right.
Actually, the svara is that why don't someone's going to end up dead?
Right, as Rashi says
someone's
that.
Someone's going to end up dead, so if I kill someone, I did an avera too.
Right.
This way, if he
Excellent.
Kills me,
Excellent.
One person ends up dead anyway.
Right. Right. So more. Right. So you want to say right. So V'chai Behem says when there's a clash between mitzvos and life, so choose life. But here you're saying someone's going to die anyway.
You might as well not do an avera.
Excellent. I think that's how Rashi learns the sugya. Ki asa ravdimi. So now we had one. So when one case. The one case where you would have to give up your life, one carry, is the Gimel Averos. That's the first category of giving up one's life. You're going to see here in this Gemara, there are two other categories where a person has to give up his life. Ki Asa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Dimi came to Bovel from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Lo shanu ela shelo b'shas hashmad. If it's a time of forced apostasy, if it's a time when the government is trying to force you to convert and to be over the mitzvos, then you have to give up your life, even for a mitzvah kala. We're going to define it. Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, another situation where you would have to give up your life. Afilu shelo b'shas asmad lo amr ela betzina, aval b'farhesya afilu mitzvah kala yaharag ve'al yavor. The other situation where a person would have to give up his life, even for the non-big three, for any mitzvah, is if the person is asking you to violate the mitzvah in front of 10 Jews. If it's in front of Bifarhesya, in front of 10 Jews, and he's asking you to violate the Avera, yeah, then you would have to give up the... The Rambam learns it as 10 Jews.
Why wouldn't you tell, like, four of them
to publicly, you're in, you know, again, you're, if it's a public, you know, desecration of Hashem's name, then you would have to give up your life. And what is a mitzvah? Mam is Amarava Barizka Amarav. Afilu Shnu Akarta de Mas Ana. I think that means your shoelace. I think there was let's say the non-Jews wore black laces and Jews wore white laces. So is a decree that says that everyone should wear black laces. You know, that's the lace of that religion over there. And so they, even though there's no halacha, there's no lav, there's nothing wrong with wearing black shoelaces, but if if that's what the non-Jewish non-Jews wear, and they're forcing you to say to make it a point that you should do something un-Jewish, then you would have to even let yourself be killed rather than wear the shoelace color of the Gentiles. So we see here from this Gemara that there were three categories, again, that a person would have to be able to give up his life. One is the Gimel Averos. The second one would be in a time of Shmad. And the third case would be Bifar Hesya. So the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah, Perek Hey, I quoted the first three halachos, says the, I don't know if we're going to go through it again.
Is not connected directly to the time of Shmad?
No.
It's not a separate thing.
It's a separate thing. So even in a time not of Shmad, I think the case is Shmad, where it's a government institutionalized time to convert the Jews, and I think the professor would be, let's say, an individual noble, you know, is on his land, is got you before Hesia, and says, and we'll see, and says who wants you to do to be over in Avera. Because again, it's because even we're going to get to a distinction between Hanas Atzmo or not. Meaning, he's not. If he's telling you just to do something like, can you cook for me something for Shabbos or clear this road for me? My chariot got stuck, right? I want you to now pull this and carry this for me and help me get out. He would tell the Polish person. He tells the Jewish person. He's it's an avera to do it on Shabbos, and even though it's Befarhesia, but since it's not doing it, to violate, Torah. But again, even when he does it to tell you to do something against the Torah, if that's just an individual person, I think that's called, his individual Befarhesia. It's not Shmad. Shmad, I think, is a countrywide institutionalized time of
forced. Include the Jew.
I left it out, but they do talk. I think the Gemara right after this talks about, is it 10 Jews, 9 and 1? I think they talk about it, but I think we're saying it's 10 normally 10. No, I think they say a kehila. I think it says in a Vindash, no, because it says the pasuk is v'nektashi b'soch b'nei Israel, so it's talking about it. So it comes. It has to be b'toch b'nei Israel, right? Excellent. Okay, so I guess let's read the Rambam. It says, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem Agadol Hazeh Shenemar V'Niktashi B'Toch Bnei Yisrael U'Mizhorin Shelo L'Chalo Shenemar V'Lo S'Chalo Et Shem Kodshi. Okay, Ketzad. Kishiyamar ovei kachav enviyana says Yisrael avor alachas mikol mitzvah samuris b'torah. Oh, here again, oh, yeah. So, a threat. Yeah, oh, here again. Yavor va'al yahareg. You should be over the avera, live. Don't do, you know, do the avera. Don't let yourself be killed. Shenemar b'mitzvos asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai b'hem. From the pasuk of v'chai b'hem, you should live by them. So don't, you know, we see that, you know, your life takes precedence over the avera. So he's going to limit it again in the next halachos, and that's where he brings in the big three. V'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamos b'hem. V'im meit, but this I highlighted, because this we're going to see is a machlokes between, you know, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. But look what the Rambam says: ve'im meit v'lo avar harei zeh mitchayev benafsho. And he repeats it again in Halacha Dalet. He says that if you, like, you know, saying, you're, he said, eat this. You're in, it's got right. He's saying, be over, you know, one of the non-big three, or I'm going to kill you. So the halacha is, you should do the avera. Let's say you want to, you don't. Let's say you let yourself be killed, and you don't do the avera. The halacha is, you should, according to the Rambam, do the avera and live. Let's say you give up your life, you know, for one of the non-big three. He says, mitchayev benafsho. It's like you committed suicide. You're responsible for, you know, for that action. Really, you should have, you know, done the avera and lived. Next halacha. B'med dvar mamurim, b'shar mitzvahs, chus me'abat kochavim, gila arai, shvichus damim. But aval shlosh averes elu, im yom ulo avar alachas mehem, ol ta'arag, yarag ve'al yavor, those three, you should be yarag ve'al yavor. Now the Bamedva Mamurim, you'll see from the examples, is going back to Halacha Aleph. Meaning, when should you violate and live? Bamedva Mamurim, Bizman Sha'ovik Kochav Mitchavin Lanas Atzmo. When he wants to do something from pleasurable for himself. Kogon Sha'ansu Livnot Lo Beito, he says, build a house for me on Shabbos, or cook for me on Shabbos. On his isha lebulo chiyotze beizeh. If he wants to violate a woman, and again, not arayos, I don't think we're talking about, but for his own pleasure. Aval im nitkaven laver al mitzvot bilvad. But if he wants to do something, not institutionalized. That's going to be in the next halacha. Mm-hmm. But this person wants to make you be over an avera. So then it depends. That's when v'farhesir plays a part. Im haya beino levein atzmo. If it's in private and v'farhesir is not an issue. So if in private he asks you to do an avera and he knows he's forcing you to do the avera, again, do the avera. It's privately. However, if he's asking you to do this avera purposely before hesya, that's when you have to give up your allies. Vim ansel avira basar miyisrael. However, if he's doing something purposely before hesya, then you have to give up your life. Even on any of the six, you know, even the rest of the 610. So on any mitzvah, if he's purposely trying to make you be over it in public, you would have to give up your life. That was what we saw before hesya. And then the next halach he talks about shmad. V'chol advar me'elu shlo b'shas agzera. So you have a governmental decree to try to convert the Jews. Then you have to give up your life for any mitzvah. B'shat Hashmad, even in private. Yeah. Because that's not a problem. It's not a professor issue. It's a shmad issue. So shmad issue, give up your life. Before history, give up your life. Big three, give up your life. And if on the things where you don't have to give up your life, then if you did, according to the Rambam, you committed suicide. Okay.
I was going to say, you're saying convert the Jews, force apostasy. But doesn't the language of the Rambam make it sound like even if you have a governmental force not interested in converting the Jews to some other religion or persuading them of anything, you just don't want them practicing their own religion.
Uh-huh.
That would constitute shmad, and that might apply to the Germans who clearly didn't want the Jews to be Christian.
Right. Excellent. Because we're going to be talking about how to analyze a little bit the Holocaust. Because we're going to say, well, if you considered it shmad, because there were certain decrees that they definitely came into a town and would go to the rabbi and try to cut his beard and try to, you know, take Sifrei Torah and rip them and violate them and have other people violate them.
Jewish. So that was just another way that you could be be brutal and torture.
Right, but on the other hand, they didn't want to, just the opposite. It's not like they wanted them to come to there. So they wanted the Nuremberg laws. They wanted to separate them. Exactly right. So how exactly to look at that? And you'll see in his tshuva, we're going to give an answer. If you felt that it was a type of shmad, is this permissible or not? Let's say it's not shmad, but there's still some religious component to it. Can you give up your life? And then we'll attack it from both vantage points, and that's what he does. Okay, so now the source that
you got a question?
Yes. Yeah.
What if you have an individual boy?
Yeah. To love, to support, right. So that's what he said, is not shmad. That's
what
he said. Let's say you have one person, an individual guy, an individual nobleman, but he's asking you to violate a mitzvah on purpose because he knows that's against your religion. Not lahanato. So that, we said, it depends. If it's in private, it's not shmad. So if it's in private, violate the avera. If it's in private, violate it. But if it's befarhesia, then you have to give up your life.
That's what he said, right?
I think he said even befarhesia is not going to be an issue.
How is shmad defined?
I'm just saying shmad. But he saw how the Rambam said it.
How is he defining shmad?
Kishiyamod melech rasha kevenucha netza v'chaveral v'yigzor gzera al Yisrael levatel datam, to do away with their religion, o mitzvah min
mitzvah. Okay, so it has nothing to do with any other religion. It's just the bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the question that we're going to focus on, though, was our question was positive mitzvah. So the next source we're going to look at is what is the din? So we know in type of shmad, we just learned it from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Rambam, that in time of shmad, you have to give up your life and not be over any of the averos. What about positive mitzvahs during a time of shmad? What about do you have to risk your life to put on tefillin? Do you have to risk your life to eat matzah? So we know that you have to risk your life not to do rather than do an avera. But what about risking your life to do a mitzvah during shmad?
Have to, or can you?
Right. Excellent.
What was the shoelace thing?
But it's not like a nasei. We're saying that's a, why are they looking at that more as a lo sase? Right. Because they don't want you to.
This is not a question of your mitzvah, it's a question of their tradition. Mm-hmm. The way you presented it.
Right.
If they ask you to eat a tuna sandwich, that's so their minhag.
Right, it's not. You're right. So they're forcing you to do something of their religion, rather. And here we're asking the question: do we have to endanger ourselves to do something positive in our religion? So the Gemara that Rav Oshri quotes is the Gemara in Shabbos about Elisha Bal Knafayim. So Amar Rav Yanai, Tzvilin Tzrichin Guf Naki, we're on the last source on page 2. Tzvilin Tzrichin Guf Naki Ke Elisha Bal Knafayim. When you wear tefillin, you have to have a clean body, like Elisha, the who has wings. Mayhi. So what? Oh, first of all, what is guf naki? So by amar shelo yafiach bahem, you shouldn't pass wind. Rava amar shelo yishim bahem, you shouldn't be sleeping when you wear tefillin. And now here's what we talked about. By my karalei bal knafayim. Why don't we say Elisha, the winged one? Shapam achas gzera machus romi harasha gzera al Yisrael. The Romans decreed shekol haminiach tefillin yinakro et mocho. If you put on tefillin on your head, we're gonna bash in your head and have your brains, spill out. V'haya Elisha minichan v'yotzei l'shuk. Elisha went out wearing tefillin. Ra'u kazdor achad ratz mipanav v'ratz achrav. So a Roman officer saw him, started chasing him. Elisha started running. V'kevin shegia etzlo, and when he got close to him, natlan me'roshro v'achsan biyado. He removed the tefillin, and he put him in his hands. Amru lo, so the Roman said to Elisha, maze biyadecha, what's in your hands? So amru lo, Elisha answered him, kanfe yona, wings, a dove's... So pashur et yadav v'nimsa kanfe yona l'ficha koronoso Elisha bal kanafayim.
And Anyhow, so it's obvious from here that he wasn't a Chabad
yet. So now the Ramban on this Gemara, the Ramban on this Gemara asks the following question. So he says, we're talking about Shmad. And we're talking about, so we said on Shmad, you have to give up your life for any Avera. So he says, so if you have to give up any Avera, how is Elisha allowed to take off his tefillin? He should have had to give up his life. So from there you learn that what? So from there you learn that you only have to give up your life for Losa says, you don't have to give up your life for us says. That's the Ramban's opinion. We'll see it's the Ran's opinion, it's the Mi'iri's opinion. However, we'll go on into what you said, you don't have to, but if you want to, then it's still being Makadosh Shem Hashem. That's how he's going to learn. That's how he learns this Gemara. We see the Rambam's going to learn this Gemara differently. What?
He's already Makayim mitzvah by wearing them
Excellent. Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam.
It's just a key.
Kesef Mishnah.
It's not a proof of whether you have to give up your life.
The problem is every time they can have it,
he's still Makayim even by wearing it. Right. Okay. So therefore what? I'm sorry. So therefore...
It's not a riot.
It wouldn't be a proof that you have to give up your... Wait. That you have to give up your life.
It's not a proof that you don't have to give up your.
The Gemara should say before.
Excellent. Because he was already Makayim. That's exactly what the Kesef Mishnah says.
And would be
the
another problem.
Excellent. You move on to the next source.
He was already Makayim the mitzvah.
Yeah.
What is he doing putting himself in Sakanas and Fashis?
Okay, excellent. So that's another question, and we're going to deal with it. So how could... So there's two questions. If you said... Each one is going to have a question. So the Ramban's question was, he was dealing with... why... We're going to deal with both of them. We'll learn the Gemara.
I'm
so according...
I'm not sure the Ichachasut to tefillin in the times of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
The same way we put it on five and we do a V.
Right.
This is something you have to do with tzitzit. It's like someone telling you take off your tzitzit, but even they didn't believe it was chuppah.
Okay, so let's go. Let's see it because I want to finish in. We usually finish by 10. So let's go. But it's all good. I mean, everyone's been mikaved, and we're gonna have to say, why did he put it on? Why was he able to take it off? So we're gonna address both those questions. Okay, v'kashya elisha shayu gufnaki lama nutla meroshu v'habisha shmad. That was our question. How could he take it off? It was shat shmad. Afilo karta demasna yaharug val yavor. Even for that shoelace, you should let yourself be killed. So I highlighted hachi having. So during Shemat HaShemad, you have to give up your life, right? Only to, so in order not to violate a los haseh. Aval im gazu levato mitzvah haseh, vade tivata val yaharag, deshev al taseh shani. So he says it's better, you don't have to endanger yourself even during Shemad to perform positive mitzvahs. V'od chain, because what could he even say? He tries to throw in a svarah. V'od chain yichom levato al korcho. They can force you not to perform that mitzvah. Chain yichu b'bayit ahesurim umela tivatel. They can throw you in jail without tefillin, and therefore you're not going to put on.
So
what are you accomplishing? So don't endanger your life to try to put on tefillin. V'af al pishaya minichan shemahaya. Oh, so then you're asking. So excellent. That was your question. So then, how did he put it on? If he doesn't have to put it on, how was he able to put it on? So one is just about, I think, about the chance. So he put it on because he thought he can get away with it. He didn't think that they were going to see him. Or he did it on purpose so he can be. Still, to be Mekayim this mitzvah, and take upon himself Omachot Shemayim, Ushayhu Bekach, and it's permissible, Ve'eno Kemet Chayiv Benafsho, and it's not like he's committing suicide, Afal Pisha Amri Yabata Val Yarog, even though really we say he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to do this mitzvah. Shekol Mitzvah Shechziku Bo Yisrael V'Shat HaShemad. However, every mitzvah, even though you don't have to do it, but if during a Shat HaShemad, the Jews are Moser Nefesh for this mitzvah, Noten L'Aleh Aschar Harbe. They get a lot of schar. So according to the Vaidai Muchzeka B'Yadam, and then he quotes Agadatas. He says, what are this person, why are you going to be killed? Because I did Mila on my child. Why are you going to be killed? Because I shook Lula. And Daniel, he was most nefesh to, you know, to Davin. Even on Mitzvah Drabana.
You still have to ask the question if continuing to wear them in the shuk is the same thing as putting them on shul.
Well, he was saying that you're able to do it, and we'll see, look at the Ran. Same. Ran is going to have the same, and the Meiri. He's going to say, next source, and this is quoted out of, I just cut it out of the Tshuva of Rav Oshri. So how was he able to wear it? Even though he agrees with the Ramban that you don't have to put on tefillin during Shat Hashma to fulfill positive mitzvos, the Meiri says the same thing. Shekol shel b'kiddush Hashem ein shum isur basiyas l'tnei mishuras adin. Alfa pishenu mechuya b'kach va'ader abba yesh lo shukha meruba al zeh. So v'aleim nema gvurei korach osei dvaro. So according to Ramban, so what would Rav Oshri answer? Rav Oshri would say you don't have to go to shul, you know, to endanger yourself. I didn't have to endanger myself not to open up the mikvah. Not the bathhouse, but if I want to, I'm allowed to. I'm allowed to. I didn't have to, but you're able to do it.
What do they do with the Mishnah Shein on the Matzahar Shom Mitzvah? How do they know what the Zachar is?
Right, no, they're just saying that you're being Moser Nefesh. That's it. They're saying you're being Moser Nefesh. They're saying it's you don't have to do it.
Yeah,
but if you do it, because they quoted thing, you know, Malacha Yotze Lisaka al Shemilesi as Bani. So they quoted, you know, that a guy that is in a positive light. So let's see how the Rambam learns this Gemara, because the Rambam's gonna say, I'll do it outside first, the Rambam's gonna say no. During a Shat Hashmad, los ases and ases are the same, and just like you have to give up your life for a los ase, you have to give up your life to perform ases during a time of shmat.
And why did you take it off his
head? So why did he put it on? We understand that question falls off. We understand very well why he put it on, because you have to put it on. During a Shana Shmad, you have to put it on because it's because you have to perform all mitzvahs during a Shmad. You have to endanger yourself even to perform positive mitzvahs. So then why did he take it off? And that was the answer that we gave previously. Either he took it off because he was already Mekayim the mitzvah, so he's able to take it off.
But if that's the case, he could have taken it off sooner, not put himself in Sakana.
There's something
missing here.
That's what he said. He could have taken. He took it off right when he thought. It was a problem. But that's how the Kesef Mishnah quotes this opinion in the next source. And he quotes he begins by quoting the Ran that we saw, that you should give up your life for positive mitzvahs. But then he says, third line, Bakashali, Sharei Rav Chanina ben Trajon, he quotes the Gemara of, Rav Chanina ben Trajon, also during the where he taught Torah, and he was caught, and he was surrounded by a Sefer Torah, and he was burnt. So, Masa Nafsho, Kidei Lasok B'Torah, V'chein Rav Yehuda ben Baba, Kidei Lismoch Zekenev, he was gay smicha. Malacha Yotze Lisaka al Shinitad Li Lula, he quotes it, Malacha Yotze al Shamaleti Ad Bini. Okay, so all these times that people were endangering themselves to perform positive mitzvah. The Ein Lomar Midas Chasidus Shanukan. Don't say like what? How did everyone else learn that? How did the Ramban learn this? Ramban said they didn't have to do all those things, but all those things were lifnei mishur sadin. You're able to if you want to. Kesef Mishnah says don't learn that way. Ein Lomar Midas Chasidus Shanukan. Ela Mashmish Al Pi Adin Hayu Osin. He wants to say they did these things because during a Shat Hashmad you have to perform positive mitzvahs just like you have to perform negative mitzvahs.
These things, because without them doing these things, Torah would have been lost.
Right, okay,
these were the last people.
Doesn't apply for tefillin or for the day. Vahi Dalisha Bal Knafayim, then Lo Machra, then we asked, then why was he able to take it off? The Kfar Kiyam Ba'oso Hayom Mitzvah Tefillin, because he already was Makayim Mitzvah Tefillin. Vagam Lo Amor Lakasa, and how would you Shemakayim Gzeratan, Shalol Haniach Tefillin, Meaning, he could have answered the Roman, what's in your hand? He says, I'm holding tefillin because that's your decree. But you see that he didn't say that.
He wanted
to say that during the Roman decree. You can't say that I'm agreeing with your decree and not putting on tefillin. No, during a Shad Hashmad, you have to put on the tefillin. You have to be Mekayim positive mitzvahs. So that was, and the only reason he was able to take it off was because he's already fulfilled it during the day. So there was a machlokas here between the Ramban and the Rambam. So how to analyze that during Shat Hashmad. So we said to answer, if you agree with the Ramban, so you would say either way. So that was Rav Oshi's first, analysis. So either way, either according to the Ramban or the Rambam, at least you'd be, according to the Rambam, you have to, if you viewed the Holocaust as Shmad, then you would have to be endanger yourself to do these mitzvahs, according to the Rambam. But according to Ramban, you don't have to, but you could. So he would answer the quiet person, you don't have to endanger yourself to go to, to go to the shul or to daven or to learn. But if you want to, you're able to do it. Yes.
Isn't the Gemara bringing down this example a little problematic as it encourages people to be samech al anes?
Everyone will make their own shikul, if you, again, especially according to Ramban, you don't have to do it, but if you're on that level and you want to, then you're allowed to. So it's a personal decision.
The third generation Catholic.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, nothing to do with Shema, everything to do with the Lashem.
Okay, so the next analysis of Rav Oshri. We'll deal with, let's start conversation in a few minutes, but let's finish up, Troy. We have just like 5 more minutes. So the next level is, let's view the Holocaust. See, it's very hard to say, and they didn't. The postman didn't say the Holocaust is Shmad, because if it's Shmad, could they were able, they gave heterim for people to eat non-kosher food. So it's hard to say, if it's Shmad, you have to give up your life to eat. So obviously it can't be, right. So it's not, so, right. So they didn't, right. So it's not Shmad. And we said all those things, Nuremberg laws, they didn't want to convert you, they just want to kill you. Right. So it's not Shmad. So if it's not Shmad, so now let's take a step. According to the Rambam, we said, when it's Shmad, that if you have a chance to live, you should live, and you shouldn't try to perform the mitzvah. So it seems like, according to the Rambam, right, it would be very hard to endanger yourself to do these positive mitzvahs, according to the Rambam. Correct? I would think, for what we saw so far. So that's, so a question, how can you endanger yourself to perform positive mitzvahs? According to the Rambam, said you're mechayev benafsho. So there we can see the next source would be Tosfos. Tosfos is now the source that's going to argue on, Rabbeinu Tam is going to argue on the Rambam, and he says something similar to what we said Bishmad, what we saw in the Ramban and the Ran and the Meiri. He says even not in Shmad, but if a person, again, in the privacy of the noble's home, asks you to violate an Avera, and it's not one of the big three, so you definitely are able to violate the Avera. There's nothing wrong with violating. But if you want to make a principled stand and not eat the non-kosher food, according to the Rambam, you're not allowed to do that. You're Mechayev B'Nafsho. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you did. It's a part of Kiddush Hashem. You're allowed to do it. You don't have to do it. But if you want to do it, then it's not, you're not Mechayev B'Nafsho. V'im rotzel ha'chmer al atzmo, afilu b'shar mitzvos, afilu b'matzos rishoy. There's a lot to that. There's a lot to that. So therefore, if you held like Rabbeinu Tam, so then it works out very well. Rabbeinu Tam, he says, look, eat the non-kosher food, stay alive. It's not, it's not Shmad. So, eat the non-kosher food to stay alive, v'chai b'hem, that's fine. If a person wants to take upon himself and even, risk it, then Rabbeinu Tam says, even though you don't have to do it, but if you want to, then you're allowed to.
There's a whole aspect here that I think is, it's not within the realm of halacha, but you know, when you're in a concentration camp and you can put on tefillin or you can light a Hanukkah menorah or you can eat a piece of matzah, it has an inyan of chiyus. This gives people life. Okay. This gives people the ability to go forward.
Right, excellent.
And how do we sit here in a room in the air conditioning and discuss? How do you handle it?
No, this is not me. This was Rav Moshe in the house. He was saying, if you said that Judaism values life, values doing life, and you're supposed to, right, and life has infinite worth. Every second of life, that means every part of life is infinity, is still an infinite worth. So the person was asking Rav Oshri, and his Talmidim asked him, how can you be misaking yourself? How can you? Doesn't the Torah say v'chai b'hem? Maybe you're doing the wrong thing. So he's bringing down the sources and exactly your innate feeling to concur with your innate feeling. No, these things are permissible to do.
Rav Moshe wrote that he felt that Nazis were killing the bodies, and in order to kill the bodies, they wanted to kill the souls first, and then, and then the bodies. He set up Talmud Torah in Kovna.
Right.
And he was teaching Rav Asher, set up a Talmud Torah in Kovna.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it a point to teach Torah and to keep these things going.
Right.
Because he felt this was a way to keep the people strong enough,
right,
either to survive or not to survive. I think a lot of his question, the erech of the Shelot Teshuvot Mamakim,
right,
the erech is more of the questions than the answers.
Right. It's amazing. You have to, if you look at the index and see the questions that were asked, you like you said, it's not only physical resistance of the Warsaw.
It's
there's
a lady who was 9 months pregnant and was gonna, and she had pneumonia, and they had no medicine, and so they asked Rav Oshri if it's okay to do a cesarean to save the baby, because there's no way this lady's gonna live because she has pneumonia and she's dying. Again, halacha, I don't know halacha. Rav Rashi told them to open the lady up. And they opened her up, they took out the baby, and she died because they also had no antibiotic, they had nothing, she was gone. There's a footnote on the tshuva that the next day there was the kindach. And the Nazis came in searching for babies. They heard this baby cry, they shot him in the head. So that the Totah.
You're just telling us to cheer us up? I mean, what's.
This is the Nomakim. This is Yom HaShoah.
Yeah.
The Rabbeinu Tam is Shmirikos. Why should I give up doing mitzvot the rest of my life?
Okay.
For something not even chiyuv to do.
Right.
A zillion mitzvot for this one time, which is, you know.
Right. Yeah. But they said if you want it, it's a kiddush, but it is kiddush Hashem.
No,
right, but it's but in front of him, right? It's not a pefer hesher, but it is an inyan of kiddush Hashem, even bitzina, if you want to make a principled stand, and that's the psak of Rabbeinu Tam. And actually, in my last source, I brought it down. The Mechaber brings it down and actually says, you know, it brings down Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah, there is a Gemara that they talks the different reasons. Reasons of why. Now again, that is not why I say that doesn't apply, because it's a little different application of v'chai b'hem, because there's no religious coercion whatsoever. So everyone says if you're having a heart attack on Shabbos, you violate Shabbos and
no
go because no. But I'm saying there is an element of it. It's not shmad, but there is an element of if you have to if you're going to start, you know, invoking miniskasu b'soch when they show. So this is a.
The whole Holocaust days, all those who survived, they're not the ones who perished.
Right, okay. Right. So that's it. So then we had Rabbeinu Tam. So again, Shmad, we said, are you able to do it? We said, according to the Ramban, you don't have to. You could. According to the Ramban, you would have to. According to, let's say it's not Shmad. So then what do you have to rely on? So we saw, you know, Rabbeinu Tam says that you're able to be most, to give up your life, even for non-big three mitzvahs. But now we're still left, and this is my last source, and what are we're still left with the Rambam. According to the Rambam, how can you give up your life, or, you know, in a place where you don't have to? He said, "Mischayv v'nafsho." So that we saw. I saw a Kesef Mishnah again, and you saw the Torah Perkei Halacha Dalet starts at the very end of page 3. Kol mi shenemar bo yavo v'yal yareg v'neharag v'lo avar harizem mischayv v'nafsho. If you have to, if we said you don't have to give up your life, for one of the non-big three. So the Rambam said, live. And if you didn't live, then it's like you committed suicide. So Sovar Rabbeinu. So how did he learn the Gemara when it said for those non-big three, it said Yavor, violate them, Yavor veloy tareg, and don't let yourself be killed. So Rabbeinu learns Kishamru Gemara Yavor val yareg perush tzorech laavor kedei shelo yareg. He learns it as you have to violate the avera and live. That's what it means. Aval shleimim, and now he's going to quote Rabbeinu Tam and the other, Aval shleimim chim rabim sovrim deim neharad v'lo avar. If you let yourself be killed, even for non big three, for just a regular mitzvah, and you let yourself be killed, staka techashiv lo. It's not like the Rambam's very thing that you committed suicide. He still gave up his. He's not mischayv minashra. Excellent. So how did they learn the Gemara? How did they learn when it said violate the commandment and live and don't let yourself be killed? They didn't say that you have. The Rambam said you have to violate the commandment and live. They said harishus biyado. If again la'avor kadesh lo yareg, you can. You're able to eat the non-kosher in the noble's house and live. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to make the principle stand, according to these, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you're able to take the principle stand, let yourself be killed, and it's not being mischayv benafsho. But our whole question was, what about the Rambam? Here he quotes a Numuka Yosef to help with the Rambam. Because in Numuka Yosef, but not for everyone, Dafilu Lufi Svarat Rabbeinu, even according to the Rambam, Imhu Adam Gadol V'chassid Yirei Shemayim V'roe Shehador Parutz V'kach Rishoy L'kadesh Es Hashem V'limsor Asmo Afilu Amitzvah Kala K'dei Sheyiru Ha'am V'lamdu L'yirat Hashem U'lahavo B'chol Libam. So he quoted this in the Mugur, that even according to the Rambam, if you are that type of person that he thinks that the time demands for you to make a principal stand and that would have an effect on everyone else, then you're able to do that, and it's not mischayev benafsho. Then I just quoted the Shulchan Aruch, where he does bring down Rabbeinu Tam, and he does bring down what we said about that you don't have to exert yourself on positive mitzvahs during Shmad. And then the last line from Rav Oshri, he said, okay, we just gave you three different analyses. If it's Tarmish Shmad, you're able to do it. If it's not a time of Shema, rely on Rabbeinu Tam. And even the Rambam, when it's not a time of Shema, you can rely on it if you want making the Kiddush Hashem. But he said, Ulam lahorot la'cherim halacha lemaisa shechayavim heim limsor et ha'nefesh ala Torah v'atzvila bevadai she'efshar. Of course, he's telling everyone else, the masses, eat the non-kosher, live. The Nazis want to destroy your body, live, and you're able to eat the non-kosher. But if the other people want to be Mosa Nefesh, to put on tefillin, to go to a shul, then you're absolutely, and we know many, many people resisted the Nazis and performed amazing risk, to themselves to perform, to be Mekayim Mitzvos in the Holocaust. Rav Oshri happened to say at the end of the tshuva that he thinks maybe b'schus of him not opening up that bathhouse, maybe that was one of the schuyot that allowed him, that Kadosh Baruch looked upon and favorably and allowed him to survive the Holocaust. Yeah.